Amateur Radio Newsline, report number 2510, with a release date of Friday, December 5th, 2025, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. Scientists announce a new finding about what triggers auroras. Restrictions are imposed on Germany's short-range UHF radios, and Australia's redesigned weather website stirs up a storm. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline report number 2510 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, reporting from Union, Kentucky, here's Neil Rapp, WB9VPG.
Our top story this week looks at auroras, something a lot of us have been doing or trying to do, especially if those brilliant shimmering light shows have been keeping us off the air. Scientists have just made a new discovery about what exactly makes them happen, and curiously, it's radio. Travis Lisk in 3ILS has those details.
Scientists at the University of Southampton have confirmed what they consider to be an unmistakable cause and effect relationship between radio emissions and sudden auroral eruptions. The international team's findings, called unprecedented by the scientific community, have been published in the journal Nature Communications. The researchers speculate that this will alter the means by which space weather is forecast. According to published reports, the use of advanced ground-based observatories made it possible for the researchers to detect and identify signature patterns of low-frequency radio wave emissions in the magnetosphere that were immediately succeeded, repeatedly, by auroral explosions. This discovery provides a missing piece for physicists who, until now, were never certain of the immediate trigger behind the violent energy release that expresses itself as the northern and southern lights. This is Travis Lisk and 3ILS.
In India, One Ham's annual on-air tribute to a 19th century innovator is, perhaps fittingly, also designed as an experiment this year. We have those details from Jason Daniels, VK2, LAW.
Jagadish Chandra Bose would probably approve of this year's tribute to him by Dutta, VU2 DSI. Dutta is using the call sign Alpha Uniform 2 Juliet Charlie Bravo through to the 15th of December, honoring the scientist known in India and beyond as a pioneer in wireless communication. From both a commemorative and scientific standpoint, the timing could not be more appropriate. Dutta has activated this station every year for the past 19 years to coincide with the anniversary of Bose's birth date on the 30th of November, 1858. This year, the timing reflects the theory that Bose shared about electromagnetic radiation. In 1897 in London, he formally presented his theory to fellow scientists that the sun's electromagnetic radiation had a definite impact on communication via radio waves. During this activation, Dutta is measuring the global impact of solar radiation, flares and storms on HF propagation from India at this key point in solar cycle 25. Dutta will share the call sign with Pramod, VU2XPN, a university professor of electronics. Details are available on the QRZ.com page of Alpha Uniform 2 Juliet Charlie Bravo. This is Jason Daniels, VK2 LAW.
In Germany, amateur radio may get an unintended boost following major restrictions that the nation's regulator has placed on the use of private mobile short-range handheld radios known as PMR-446. Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, has the details.
PMR-446, the popular short-range UHF radios enjoyed in much of Europe, could be enjoyed much less in Germany this month after changes enacted by the regulator, BNetzA. The regulator will prohibit operators from using any external antennas with their radios and from using the radios as base stations. PMR operators will also lose the ability to use their radios as repeaters or as internet gateways, two functions widely available to amateur radio operators. The PMR radios, which operate on 16 frequencies within the 446 MHz band, will only be permitted to be used for so-called peer-to-peer or person-to-person mode. Explaining these changes on his YouTube channel, Funkwelle, the German word for radio waves, Art Konzer, DL2A, ART, told viewers that he expected PMR operating to drop off, saying, quote, "The only alternative that remains is to get into amateur radio," end quote. He said that holders of the new N-class entry-level license have the ability to use relays and internet gateways and can communicate worldwide. ART reminded viewers that these changes closely follow similar restrictions placed earlier this year on Freenet, Germany's license-free personal mobile two-way radio service. This is Jeremy Bucci for NJH.
A treasured friend and life member of the New Zealand Association of Radio Transmitters has become a silent key. We hear more about him from Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF.
John Walker, ZL3IB, was a prominent editor and author of articles and publications devoted to amateur radio in New Zealand and beyond. He had served as acting editor of the Christchurch Amateur Radio Club newsletter, Hamlarks, and 18 years as editor of Break-In, the official journal of the New Zealand Association of Radio Transmitters. John received his call sign in 1971. He became a silent key in Christchurch on the 2nd of November. When it came to amateur radio, John didn't just believe in operating, he believed in educating. A natural motivation for him because education was his career. He had been a professor of botany at the University of Canterbury in Christchurch. He was a founding trustee of the Radio Science Education Trust in 1998. The trust, which is part of NZART, supports persons wishing to advance their education in radio science. John was also the widely published author of dozens of technical articles and columns on amateur radio and equipment. He was made an honorary life member of NZART in 2014. John was 92, just 3 weeks shy of his 93rd birthday when he became a silent key. This is Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF.
As Newsline went to production, we also learned of the death of Ganesh Subramaniam, VU2TS, an influential ham in Bangalore and beyond. Ganesh became a silent key on the 2nd of December, reportedly after a brief illness. In online posts on Facebook and websites, many remembered him as an enthusiastic CW operator who embraced the code from the very start. In an October 2019 interview on the QSO Today podcast, he spoke about his enthusiastic radio beginnings as a shortwave listener, culminating in taking his exam in 1960 at a time when amateur radio operators were few and far between in India. He said he did not receive his license, a grade 1 license, until April of 1965 at the age of 29. He learned he had just become the 350th ham in India. Always active and enthusiastic, he became the founder and the net control operator of the Sherman Arnett and a life member of the Bangalore Amateur Radio Club. He was also an avid contester and had served for a time as editor of Ham Radio News, the Amateur Radio Society of India's magazine. Ganesh was 90. To hear Ganesh tell his story on the QSO Today podcast, visit qsotoday.com and type in his name in the search bar. Students and their professors at Cornell University are hoping for smooth sailing for a project known as the Alpha CubeSat mission, but they're looking for ham radio assistance to help them track its progress. Their project has deployed what are known as light sail chipsats, small free-flying flight computers in low Earth orbit, to transmit telemetry on 437.4 MHz at 100 milliwatts of power using LoRa transceivers. The chipsats are mounted on a retro-reflective laser sail. The project, which relies only on solar power, was sent to the International Space Station aboard 1U CubeSats developed by students at the school's Space Systems Design Studio. The project website explains the short time window, saying, quote, "Between the sunlight only, low power, and short orbital lifetime, we need all the help we can get to collect telemetry from the sail and establish LEO-to-ground communications for this new generation of tiny spacecraft," end quote. For details on how to participate, follow the link in the text version of this week's Newsline report at arnewsline.org. You can also contact Joshua KD2WTQ at the email address jsu4@cornell.edu. Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the K2 ADA repeater in Ocala, Florida, on Fridays and Saturdays at 7 p.m. Registration is open for a European Space Agency education school project that asks teachers to challenge their students to create computer programs that will run successfully on board the International Space Station. Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, brings us up to date.
Whether students are beginners or more advanced at coding, there's a place for them in the European AstroPi Challenge. UK Space Agency and the European Space Agency are offering the challenge to students up to age 19 with different levels of coding competency. Beginners are invited to participate in the AstroPi Mission Zero by designing a piece of pixel art for display to astronauts aboard the ISS on a Raspberry Pi computers known as AstroPis. Students capable of handling more complex code, in this case programming in Python, are asked to be part of the mission Space Lab instead. Their challenge is to calculate the speed of the ISS by utilizing sensors or a camera with the AstroPi. Mission Zero's deadline is the 23rd of March 2026, and Mission Space Lab's deadline is the 16th of February 2026. Resources are being provided to the educators by the project. AstroPi's ambassador is ESA astronaut Sophie Adenot, KJ5LTN, who will be undertaking her first mission to the ISS in early 2026. This is Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
A milestone CUSO party celebration is coming to an end for South African amateurs, as we hear from John Williams, VK4JJW.
It's been quite a year for the South African Radio League, but not as big a year as 1925, the year that the league came into being. SARL, which launched its centenary marathon QSO party in January, is concluding it this month. At 2359 UTC on the 31st of December, its participating call signs, most notably ZS100SARL, will be going QRT. Contacts have been made since the first of the year on CW, phone, digital, and via satellites or repeaters. Contacts have been on HF, VHF, and UHF. Even shortwave listeners have been involved, accumulating points and applying for different levels of awards. Many of these modes did not even exist 100 years ago when the league, formerly known as the South African Radio Relay League, became a reality thanks to the efforts of hams who decided amateur radio needed a unified voice to advocate for their interests. The marathon recognizes the growth and reach that SARL has attained through the ensuing decades. Even if you're getting a late start in chasing the activators, there's still time. Visit mysarl.org.za. for details. This is John Williams, VK4JJW.
A ham radio club in West Bengal, India, best known for its special skill in helping reunite family members who are lost, sometimes for years, has once again made use of its robust network on behalf of a woman who'd gone missing two decades ago. Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF, brings us the details.
An older woman, believed to have been begging on the streets of Bangladesh for survival for years, has reconnected with her family in India through the efforts of the West Bengal Radio Club, an organization with a speciality in missing persons cases. The woman's disappearance was traced to a religious pilgrimage she made nearly 20 years ago, an annual gathering near the Ganges River. With the volume of pilgrims at the event, known as the Ganga Sagar Mela, it is not uncommon for many attendees to get lost or to go missing. According to the club's secretary, Amrashna Biswar, VU2JFA, the woman, who is now about 70 years of age and from a village in India, somehow joined a group of pilgrims from Bangladesh. That is how she is believed to have taken a detour to Bangladesh instead of returning home. News accounts said that she was soon living on the street begging. Recently, ham radio contacts in Bangladesh reached out to the West Bengal hams, asking them to intervene. After they questioned her and she uttered one of the few words she could, Sagar, the name of the district she came from in India. Using photographs of her and their wide network of contacts, the West Bengal hams finally reached her surviving family members. According to a report in the Australian Indian News, she has two surviving sons in Delhi. Her husband and one son have since died. Attempts at uniting her with her sons were underway as Newsline went to production. This is Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF.
In the world of DX, Elvira IV3FSG is operating from Somaliland as 603T. The duration of her activation is not known. More details can be found on QRZ.com. Listen for the special event call sign HS25SG from the 1st through to the 30th of December to celebrate the 33rd Southeast Asian Games. This activation is part of the SatFinder educational campaign, which promotes space, satellite, and radio science to students and others by hosting amateur radio activities. Listen for Herald DL7MDX operating holiday style as 8Q7HT from the Maldives, IOTA number AS013 using FT8 on 40 through 6 meters. John NI6D will be on the air as CE7-NI6D along the Carretera Austral in northern Patagonia from the 6th through to the 18th of December. John will be using FT8 and FT4 on 40 through 10 meters using low power. Listen mainly during the afternoon and evening hours during his local time. For all these stations listed, please see QRZ.com for QSL details. Finally, we visit Australia, where there's a new look to an important weather website, but no one could have forecast the turbulent response it stirred up since it went live. Graham Kemp, VK4BB, gives us the details.
Each year, more than 2.6 billion pairs of eyes check in for guidance in Australia on the government's Bureau of Meteorology website. Lately, however, visitors to the bomb, as it's nicknamed, have been declaring the site's redesign a bomb. In a recent report carried by BBC News, users have weighed in publicly on the redo, calling it everything from counterintuitive to an outright disaster. The remake, which cost $96.5 million in Australian dollars, was the Bureau's response to a 2015 cybersecurity breach. A number of users became instant fans and praised the site for its cleaner front page. The Bureau has even provided guidelines designed to help visitors navigate the site. The BBC report said, however, the majority of vocal visitors to the site have been clamouring for the Bureau to roll it back to the old version or simply make it more user-friendly, with farmers in particular unable to find their location's relevant weather as they could previously. Worse for users is that the colour coding on the radar maps has changed. Many users are now putting the letters REG at the beginning of the URL, which then reverts them to the original site. My prediction is it's stormy weather ahead for the bomb, at least for the immediate future. I'm Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
Want to see what the fuss is all about? Visit the site yourself at the link in the text version of this week's newscast at arnewsline.org. If you haven't sent in your ham radio haiku yet, what's been stopping you? Visit our website at arnewsline.org, and as you compose your ode to your favorite online activity, we will help you use the correct number of syllables to help make an authentic haiku. Submit your work and then sit back and wait to hear whether you are the winner of this week's challenge. The winner gets a shout out on our website where everyone can find the winning haiku. With thanks to Amateur News Daily, AMSAT News Service, ARRL, Art Consi, DL2ART, Australia Bureau of Meteorology, Australia India News, BBC, Benetza, Cornell University, Craig Crawford, ZL3TLB, Data, VU2DSI, David Bihar, K7DB, The Daily Galaxy, 425DX Bulletin, Institute of Amateur Radio in Kerala, Madhu Mohan, VU2UWZ, QRZ.com, QSO Today, South African Radio League, shortwaveradio.de, Tech Central, Wireless Institute of Australia, Yasme Foundation, YouTube, and you, our listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. We remind our listeners that Amateur Radio Newsline is an all-volunteer, non-profit organization that incurs expenses for its continued operation. If you wish to support us, please visit our website at arnewsline.org and know that we appreciate you all. We also remind our listeners that if you like our newscast, please leave us a 5-star rating wherever you subscribe to us. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT, at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Neil Rapp, WB9VPG in Union, Kentucky, saying 7-3, and as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2025. Amateur Radio Newsline retains ownership of its material even when retransmitted elsewhere. All rights are reserved.